The Alaska Marine Highway is the top priority in a Southeast economic plan, and a new local marketplace is looking for craftspeople to sell their wares. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. Sustaining and strengthening the Alaska Marine Highway is the top priority in a recent plan from a Southeast Alaska Economic Development Group. Southeast Conference puts together a plan about every 5 years that outlines goals for job and business growth in the region. As KHNS's Emily Files reports, the state budget picture plays a crucial role in this latest proposal.
It looks at the specific elements that are really Southeast Alaskan.
Melanie Shivens of Raincoast Data in Juneau put the Southeast 2020 Economic Plan together for Southeast Conference. More than 400 people representing businesses, tribes, native organizations, municipalities, nonprofits, and more were involved in developing the plan. She says it outlines the challenges and opportunities in the region's economy.
How does the Southeast Alaska economy tick? What are the opportunities that are here for us? I mean, we know we have our challenges. There's more than 1,000 islands in Southeast Alaska, so transportation is obviously a significant issue. So there are pitfalls. So how can we work around that, and how can we work together to really grow a strong economy and plan for a strong economy? And I really think that's what this plan does.
Transportation is the number one priority in Southeast Conference's plan. Regional business leaders rated cost of transportation both for freight and for travel as one of the top barriers to success. Southeast Conference Executive Director Shelley Wright says state budget cuts to the Marine Highway made it an even more crucial area to address.
Lack of service, lack of dependability, that's all been happening in the last 2-3 years. We just didn't see any end in sight to that happening, and to have the Marine Highway go away isn't an option.
Southeast Conference recently made progress towards its goal of creating a more sustainable Marine Highway. The group signed an agreement with Governor Bill Walker to come up with a new business and management plan for the ferry system.
And actually design a new governance strategy and develop a strategic plan for 25 years to come.
Southeast Conference is spearheading work on the Marine Highway Initiative, but the group hopes local governments, businesses, and nonprofits can use the plan and its priorities to support their own goals.
So this is just an overall guideline for all of the communities to be able to use this as a planning tool and also to use it as a finance tool in trying to get grants and financing loans for their projects within their communities.
The state budget crisis is bound to have impacts far beyond the Marine Highway. The economic plan notes that local, state, and federal government accounts for a third of all workforce earnings in Southeast. 14% of direct wages come from state government. Wright says the state budget woes make development of other economic sectors even more important.
Grow mariculture and seafood industry and the timber industry and resource development, tourism, small business that isn't really dependent on the government.
Those areas are included in the plan's list of top economic priorities. They include improving energy security, training a maritime industrial workforce, and advocating for the seafood sector. Here's Shivens.
If you look at all jobs in Southeast Alaska, you look at all dollars paid in Southeast Alaska, 1 out of 4 is paid to somebody who's working directly with or on the ocean.
Growing tourism is also a major goal. Shivens says the visitor industry is the strongest industry overall in Southeast right now.
We're going to surpass our 1 million person cruise ship mark this summer. And so how can we attract more visitors to Southeast Alaska, and how can we attract visitors that are going to be spending more money and maybe staying longer?
Decline in government spending and jobs, the high cost of transportation and living, Southeast faces many economic challenges in the next 5 years and beyond. But many of the people surveyed for the plan say quality of life and Southeast Alaskan spirit are top benefits to living and working in this part of the world. Southeast Conference hopes that optimism will help motivate economic growth despite the obstacles. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Haines has a new venue for local artists, craftspeople, and foodies to sell their wares. In an effort to spruce up Main Street and help local creative types get a leg up, Haines business owner Chris Thorgeson started Frontier Tradesmen, an indoor market. It's a Wednesday in Haines, and visitors are sauntering up and down Main Street, milling in doorways, and pressing their faces against shop windows. A small group wanders into Frontier Tradesmen, a new business where the Coliseum Theater and most recently Video 144 used to be. Right now, there's not much there, but Thorgeson hopes the idea of an indoor market will take off.
Basically, what we're trying to do is get tourists who come by to see that there is actually local people who are actually tradesmen. They make things, they sell things, they produce things, and then they are actually locally, kind of locally made and locally sold.
Thorgeson is offering locals a spot in the indoor market for $50 a month, a nominal fee, he says. And if they sell some of their items, he gets a small cut. But if they don't, he doesn't. He says you don't have much to lose.
And as it stands now, we've actually got the point of sale system set up, so they don't even have to man their own booth. They can just come in, put in their stuff, and we can sell it for them, which is kind of a consignment type deal, I suppose.
The idea comes from the recesses of his brain, he says. He wants to make it easy for small vendors and fledgling businesses to sell their merchandise. And pretty much anything goes. Artwork, clothing, salmon, jams and jellies, anything a visitor might want from the hands of local craftspeople.
For right now, I don't have any stipulations. I guess if something came along, if you wanted to open a cockfighting ring, you know, we would have to talk about that. But otherwise, pretty much everything else is pretty much on the go. So.
Near the back of the renovated space is the old concession stand, where in a couple of weeks, people will be able to grab a burger or hot dog while they shop. Thorgeson said he also wants to add Wi-Fi, so guests have another spot to grab a bite and sit with their phones or tablets. The ultimate plan also includes opening 5 days a week, but for now the marketplace is only open on Wednesdays for cruise ships. He says he's not trying to take anything away from other businesses, it's just another option.
But it's definitely a good thing, if nothing else, you know, just help support the town and get something else open in town and have the cruise ships want to be here. Maybe we'll get more ships. I know some people don't want that, but I do.
Along with the major renovations inside, the building is getting a facelift on the outside, too. A local artist is in the process of painting a large mural on the side of the building depicting the history of Haines. The building has been closed down since 2009, and Thorgeson says even though it's still a work in progress, at least it's open.
I didn't like that boarded-up building right across the street on Main Street. To me, that doesn't look good for town, so I'm glad it's open.
The venture is still looking for locals to sell goods. On Wednesday, there were only a couple of options for guests, including Shannon Green and her homemade bread.
My specialty is the wheat breads, so I've got a seed bread and a basic bread. I have my own stone mill, so I grind all the flour and use organic ingredients. I was trying to find something that worked with the flow of our family to make a little extra income for us, so. And I like baking bread.
Green says she used to sell her loaves from home, but it didn't work out as well as being front and center on Main Street. It's a family affair, with her daughter Lydia making sweet bread for sale as well. The pair makes fragrant mini loaves right there on site to help lure in peckish visitors. Green says the idea of an indoor market is a good one, but she's looking forward to a little more company. And finally tonight, the top fish in the Ketchikan King Salmon Derby is the largest in about 5 years. Misty Pattison landed a 48.6-pound monster midday Sunday. The Derby is held over 3 weekends and ends June 12th. Weigh-in station volunteer Glenn Brown said Derby fishermen were excited.
That took the lead by 15 pounds. That's a beautiful fish. It's giant, and everybody's happy to see a good-sized fish come again after the winter last year being just over 40 pounds.
The previous top king was a 33.7-pound fish caught on Memorial Day by Mary Ringeisen. In third is a 33.2-pound Chinook caught on Sunday by Daryl Welk. All are Ketchikan residents. Past King Salmon Derby winners have been smaller than the current leader for several years, with the most recent larger fish coming in 2011 at 49.7 pounds. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.